Kingsport's Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
I would like to bring a message to you this morning from Mark chapter 16. Mark 16, and we'll begin reading in verse 9. It says, "Now when Jesus was risen early the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. And she went and told them that had been with him as they mourned and wept. And they, when they had heard that he was alive and had been seen of her, believed not." They believed not. All of the disciples, they were weeping and mourning over the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And can you imagine that? Can you picture the scenario? They did not know what we now know. They should have. But the Lord Jesus Christ died, and they were devastated over it. And Mary Magdalene wouldn't leave the tomb. They were gathered together, but she stayed at the tomb, and she would not leave that tomb. She was weeping and mourning. And when our Lord arose, Mary Magdalene was the first one he revealed himself to. And that shows us that if we will draw nigh to our Lord, he'll draw nigh to us. And he told her when he revealed himself, he said, "I want you to go and tell our brethren, your brethren, my brethren, you go tell them the good news that I have risen. You go announce that I have risen." And she did. And they did not believe her. How sad is that? She came running with this wonderful news. They were all weeping and they didn't believe her. Verse 12 says, "After that he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country." First he appeared to Mary Magdalene. And then he appeared to two other disciples. These two men were walking to a little town called Emmaus. And our Lord joined himself to them and he asked them, "What are you talking about?" And they said, "You must not be from around here. You don't know what's going on." And our Lord said, "What is going on?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." It's all about Jesus of Nazareth. They said, "We are so sad and so distraught because we thought he was going to be our Savior. We were trusting that he was going to save us. But 3 days ago, he died." He died. And this is how he answered them. He said, "Oh, fools and slow of heart to believe. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter in to his glory?" He said, "That death was my glory. And beginning at Moses," that means Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. "Beginning at Moses, he expounded in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." And they made it to Emmaus, listening to him preach Christ in the scriptures to them. They made it to this town Emmaus, and he acted like he was going to keep on going. But they constrained him, it says. They said, "No, we want you to stay with us. Please don't leave. Please keep telling us what you're telling us. We need to hear this." And it says over in Luke 24, if you have your Bible, look with me just a few pages over at Luke chapter 24, verse 29 says, "But they constrained him, saying, 'Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent.' And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, He took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? Didn't our hearts burn within us? Didn't it burn within us? Well, back in our text, knowing that, he appeared to these two on the road to Emmaus, and their hearts burned within them, and he expounded the scriptures, and he broke bread and opened their eyes, and they knew him. They knew who it was. Okay, now back over in our text, in Mark 16, it says in verse 12, after that he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country, and they went and told it unto the residue. Neither believed they them. They didn't believe them either. It's amazing. It is so amazing how this flesh will not believe God. Isn't that amazing? These were his disciples. These were his apostles. These were the one who walked with him for 3.5 years. But this flesh naturally, all flesh naturally, will not believe God. The flesh will not just hear God's word and believe it. And verse 14 says, afterward he appeared unto the 11. He finally came to all of them as they sat at meat, and he upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. He sharply rebuked them, sharply, because they would not believe his word or his witnesses. He sent witnesses to them and said, this is what God has said, and they would not believe it. He very clearly and plainly, throughout that 3.5 years, he told them that this was going to happen. They should have known. Look with me back at Mark chapter 8. He said in Mark 8, verse 31, he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and of the chief priests and scribes and be killed, and after 3 days, rise again. He told them that was going to happen. Mark chapter 9, the very next chapter, verse 31, it says, for he taught his disciples and said unto them, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of men, and they shall kill him. And after that he is killed, he shall rise the third day. He told them again, the next chapter over. Chapter 10, verse 32, it says, and they were in the way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed. And as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12 and began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death and shall deliver him to the Gentiles. And they shall mock him and shall scourge him and shall spit upon him and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. He told them and he told them and he told them, and they had no excuse. No excuse. Man has no excuse not to believe God. We today have no excuse not to believe God. God is the one saying these things. God is speaking. But amazingly, Man by nature will not believe God. Will not believe His word, will not believe His messengers. It's still happening today. It happens every day, still to this very day. This is what He has plainly said in His word. This is what He declares now. He has said He is coming back. He has said He is coming quickly. He has said in this word, every eye shall see Him when He comes. That's what He said. He has declared in this word that all of His elect, everybody that has fallen throughout every generation, that soul is going to be reconnected with that body. The dead are going to rise. And His elect, those who have been chosen to believe on Him, chosen to believe, they're going to be taken up with Him. And all of those who do not believe on Him, they're going to be left on this earth to be judged with eternal, physical fire and brimstone. That's what the Word declares. He says, the heavens are going to melt with a fervent heat. He's declared it many times, just like He told them what was going to happen on the cross many times. He has declared this now many times. Everything and everyone is going to be burned up. Everything that's left on this earth. And then all those who are in unbelief, they are going to be judged by this eternal spiritual fire and brimstone. Now, how many people hear that and say, I don't believe that. That sounds like fairy tale. Where's the promise of His coming? I don't believe that. Well, He said it. He said it. And so far, every single thing He has said to this point has come to pass. Everything He said would come to pass has come to pass. So this is our warning. This is our warning. He said there's one sin that will not be forgiven, and it's the sin of unbelief. Here's our warning. Let's believe God. Let's believe God. Let's believe His word. Doesn't all of this make you want to cry, God, be merciful to me? That's what it makes me want to cry. Lord, be merciful to me. I believe You. I believe that is how this earth is going to end. I believe You. God, be merciful. Save me. Spare me from what I have coming to me as I stand in the flesh. Well, if that also makes you want to cry the same thing, then I have very good news for both of us. I have some very good news for both of us. Back in Mark 16, back in our text, verse 14 says, afterward, He appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not them which had seen Him after He was risen. He sharply warned them of the danger of unbelief. And He proved Himself to them. He proved His word to them. He convinced them that not one word of His shall fall. He showed them the scars in His hands. He said, you touch me. It is I. Thomas said, the one doubting Thomas, he said, my Lord and my God. I believe now. I believe. And He proved to them every word is true. Every single word is true. And then verse 15, He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Now that right there is my calling. That's my calling. That's why I'm here. This is what God has called me to do. He told Peter, he said, Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. You feed my sheep. Feed them my word. Preach the gospel to them. He said, Isaiah, comfort ye my people. Saith your God. That's what I want you to do. Comfort ye my people. He told all of his disciples right here. He said, I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. If a man has been called by God to preach, there are many preachers today who have not been called by God. They have been called by themselves or they've been called by another man. But if a preacher has been called by God to preach, then he has been called to preach the gospel. He's been called to preach one thing. The word gospel means good news. It means glad tidings. I compare that. I envision a paperboy back in the days when paperboys would stand on the corner holding up the paper crying, good news. Extra. Read all about it. Glad tidings. If a man has been called of God to preach, then he's been called to preach good news. Now, what is the good news? What is the good news that we've been called to preach? Well, there is good news on every single page in this book. We could turn anywhere and read and preach good news. But for this message, we could be here forever declaring good news. But for this message, there are five places in the Scripture that I want to declare to you and to myself. I want to declare this to myself. This is such good news to me. Such good news. All of these five places are good news. If you're turning with me, and I strongly encourage you to turn, if you have a Bible handy, open it up and look at these with me. The first one is 1 Timothy chapter 1. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15 says, this is a faithful saying. That means this is the truth. And worthy of all acceptation. That means it's worthy to be believed. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And the Apostle Paul said, of whom I am chief. He said, I'm chief. This is the first thing I have to say. Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. He came to save sinners. May God give us a heart to truly believe that. I mean, honestly believe that. May He comfort us in that. The natural response of the flesh is this, and you assess yourself and you tell me if you agree with this. The natural response of the flesh is, no, wait a minute, that's not right. Christ came into the world to save good people. That's who Christ came to save. He came to save good people. If you want to be saved, you have to be a person who is not a sinner. That's the natural response of the flesh. But let me ask you a question. What did God say? What did God say? What did God tell His messenger, the Apostle Paul, to say? He said, I came to save sinners. Let's believe it. Let's believe it. Christ came to save sinners. Somebody will say, well, that's not what I've been told all my life. My preacher didn't tell me that. My mother didn't tell me that. God is telling us that. God is telling us. Let's believe it. Christ came to have mercy on sinners. In order to believe that, and in order to rejoice in it. It's good news. It's glad tidings. In order to truly believe it and rejoice in it, I have to acknowledge that I am a sinner. In order to rejoice in it, I have to acknowledge that I'm a sinner. Because if I'm not a sinner, then that verse of Scripture right there is saying Christ did not come to save me. If I'm not a sinner. But the amazing news is, I am a sinner. I'm a sinner. I am exactly who Christ said He came to save. And you are too. Because you're a sinner too. We both know we are. He said He came to save sinners. I have good news for both of us. He said, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. If you are a sinner, this might run through your mind. If you know you're a sinner, there are some people who are convinced, they have themselves convinced they're not sinners. Some people know. And if you're like me, if you know you're a sinner, this might run through your mind. I don't know, this sounds too good to be true. I think this is too good to be true. Let's just believe it. God said it. Let's just believe it. Christ came to save sinners. All right, let's continue with this good news. Over in Ephesians 1, if you want to look with me there at Ephesians 1, verse 4 says, according as He hath chosen us in Him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Not only did Christ spare us eternal damnation, not only did He come to save us sinners from absolute destruction, He chose for us to be placed in Him, so that we would not only be spared, but be made holy and without blame. Completely without blame. All we are in this flesh is unholy and with blame. Our record is full of blame. Full of blame. But He chose to give us a brand new record. Before the foundation of the world, it says, He chose to wipe our slate clean. And we all know we have a record, don't we? In Christ, it has been wiped clean. In Christ, it's gone. It's absolutely gone. Somebody will say, well, how did He do that? Well, I'm glad you asked. The answer to that is our third question, the third point we want to see. It's in Romans 5. If you'll turn with me to Romans 5, it says in verse 5, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us. He commended His love to us by dying for us. You know, somebody will hear this and say, are you saying it's good to be a sinner? Are you saying that it's good? Are you encouraging us to be sinners? I read where God Almighty said in His Word, if you sin against me, you'll die in your sins. Well, here's the truth of the matter. If God chose to put us in Christ, if God chose to redeem us in His death, Christ did die in your sins. He did die bearing your sins and my sins, the sin of His people. The Lord Jesus Christ has said to his preachers, I want you to go into all the world, and I want you to look my people right in the eye, and you tell them, Christ died in your sins. He died paying your price. That's good news. That's very good news. Here's the fourth piece of wonderful news. Ephesians 2 says, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world. It goes on down in verse 4 to say, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace, you are saved. You are saved. You are, not will be. The Apostle John said, beloved, right now we're the sons of God. Not will be. If we've been quickened together with Christ, we are children of God. His children say, well, I don't feel like it. I sure don't feel like it. I feel so dead and so cold. God says we are in Christ. Let's believe it. We're quickened with him. John went on to say, it does not appear what we shall be when this body of death is finally gone. But he said, when he appears, we're going to realize we're just like him. Just like him. Amazing news. Here's the final thing. John chapter 6, verse 37, it says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Every soul that the Father gave to Christ is going to come to Christ. We hear all of these wonderful things and think, how can I know this applies to me? These are wonderful pieces of news, but how can I know that they belong to me? How can I know it's my good news? Here's the answer. Every soul that God the Father gave to Christ shall come to Christ in the heart. Every soul will believe God. Come in the heart of faith. And every soul that comes in the heart of faith shall be saved. And he said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Come in the heart. Let's believe God. Bow to his word, and he will not cast us out. Until next week, may the Lord bless his word to our hearts.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, you can write to our physical mailing address at 905 Yadkin Street, Kingsport, Tennessee, 37660, or log on to our website at ksgctn.org. Please tune in next week for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.